Good evening. Welcome to the Manasquan School District's Board of Education Combined Committee of the Whole Meeting and Regular Public Board of Education Meeting for July 19th, 2016. Call to order, opening statement pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10. Notice this meeting's been provided by publication Asbury Park Press, the Coast Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic of which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please, Sandy.
Mrs. Bassan.
Yes.
Mr. Burns. Mr. Catani.
Here.
Mrs. De Palma.
Here.
Mr. Fiore.
Here.
Mr. Gardner. Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Here.
Mr. Lofredo.
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Here.
Mr. Serino.
Here.
Mr. Vitale.
Here.
Mr. Warren. We have a quorum.
Our mission statement, Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and rich tradition through a partnership with our community. Our statement to the public, oftentimes it may appear to members of the audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, and in many cases by a unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next committee of the whole meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to ensure that they fully understand the matter. After the committee of the whole approves the matter, it is placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. Acceptance of minutes. Recommend acceptance and approval of the minutes of the combined committee of the whole and regular public meeting and closed executive session of June 14, 2016. Executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such a time as the reason for discussing and acting on the matter in a closed executive session no longer exists. Do we have a motion to accept the minutes? Mr. Bassan, do we have a second? Mr. Catani, any discussion on the minutes? Sandy.
Mrs. Bassan.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma.
Yes.
Mr. Fiore.
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Yes.
Mr. Lofredo.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Yes.
Mr. Vitale.
Yes.
Carried.
Thank you. Our student board representatives will be in place for the September meeting. We are now to the presentation portion of the meeting, and I will turn it over to Dr. Cajun.
Can we go to the podium, please?
Sure.
Thank you. I want to thank the Board of Education and Mr. Pellegrino for affording me the opportunity to compliment our students and our graduates at the beginning of every Board of Education meeting, and tonight is another example of that. And I also want to compliment Thomas on his focus and his giving nature to volunteer for such a project. Tonight we're going to recognize Thomas Bielicki. Did I say that correct?
Bielicki.
I knew I said it correct. Bielicki, thank you. Congratulations on receiving the rank of Eagle Scout, first of all, and congratulations on your project. Tom's project consisted of the demolition and reconstruction of bench dugouts on the T-ball field in Spring Lake. The project was one of the more pricey projects approved by the troop advisors, but Tom was able to raise enough funds to complete the project to its fullest. Tom, was going to ask you how much it cost?
Well, originally it would be about $4,000.
Wow.
I got two benches donated, thankfully, which lowered the cost down to about $2,500.
Well done. That's great. The new dugouts were designed to increase the safety of the players from flying objects such as bats or balls, and also by getting rid of the old deteriorating fencing.
Awesome.
In June 2016, I'm proud to say that Tom graduated from Manasquan High School and plans to study chemical engineering at Rowan University in the fall. When Mr. Pellegrino forwarded your accomplishments, I really wanted the opportunity to say thank you. Thank you for the children that this is going to impact, and thank you for representing us so well. Please come forward to get your certificate of recognition, but there are no Wally Bucks in there because you won't be around this guy. That concludes our portion of the presentations for this evening.
We have it? We don't have anything for the screen?
No, we do not. Would you put it up? It would be, thank you very much.
We are now at number nine, discussion items for the July 19th, 2016 agenda for the Committee of the Whole for Education, Curriculum, and Technology. I will turn it over to, first I'll leave it at myself. All right, the Board of Education self-evaluation, everyone has that in front of them. At this time, if there are any questions or comments that anyone would like to make or have us expand upon, we could do that at this time. Overall, I would just say that the self-evaluation went well, the process went well, and there are a couple things on here that I think we recognize as a group that we can improve on a little bit in as far as information that, as to the budget and things like that going forward, so we'll obviously address that in the coming year. But other than that, if anybody had anything they wanted to add or had a question or that they just wanted to discuss, now would be the time to do that.
Am I correct? These are probably the best self-board evaluations we've seen in many years. These numbers are great.
Yeah, the numbers are
high.
Right, yeah.
Fantastic.
To that point, I'd like to compliment the board on achieving all of their goals this year and having a forward vision that's centered on students, and not only student achievement, but student safety and students in general. I want to thank you for that and affording us the opportunity to do what needs to be done in the district and always being there for our meetings, especially our monthly meetings, when we get an opportunity to talk about what your vision is and how you'd like to see the district move forward. I want to thank you for that. And yes, you did very well.
As far as board goals for the coming year, let me discuss that as to what's the time frame for that.
The time frame for that will be that we will be adding proposed goals in the Friday packet. If you have any goals that you'd like to see for next year or any suggestions, please email them to Dr. Cajun and I. Okay, so you have an opportunity to review them between now and the August meeting, and we will adopt them at the August meeting.
We'll send out some loosely coupled goals that you can either build on or agree with or disagree with, because these goals are your goals. And we want to give you a starting point, and then in the Committee of the Whole in August, we'll discuss them and then move forward with them.
Everyone's okay with the self-evaluation? Okay. Now I will turn it over to Dr. Cajun.
Thank you. First on our agenda for the Committee of the Whole are the school mailings. I thought it was important that the summer's moving quite quickly, and I contacted the building principal of the high school, and he just gave me a weekly update on the letters that would be going out from the high school. And you can see the incoming freshmen received their high school principal letter the week of August 1st, the letters to sophomores, juniors, and seniors from the high school principal the week of August 8th, and then my welcome back letter to staff members will be on the week of August 28th. We also have our workshop set up this summer, as well as we're working on the schedule for the first 2 days of school. Any questions about that? I just thought that was an update that you should have. Now I'd like to take a look at our policy agenda items. And there are quite a few that you received. Please understand that
Tonight, I would suggest to our board president that we table the second reading of the substance abuse policy until I receive the answers that we sent out to, questions to the answers I sent out to Strauss Esmond.
Answers to the questions.
Right. Good?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So the voluntary random drug testing policy, that would be the second reading tonight. We received some questions about that. I just want to, they've had this policy, we've been all over it, and I just want to make it right before it goes out. So I'm asking him to take a look at it again for us, and then I'm sure we'll get it back to the August meeting. Having said that, there are quite a few policies that we've given you to take a look at, and there are quite a few that are mandated, and I would like to take a look at just several which are focused on policies that are mandated but require options. And the first one is policy 1220, employment of the chief school administrator. And there is an option that you do not have to take, but I would like to read it to you to see if you want to take it in regards to the superintendent. The superintendent shall devote himself or herself exclusively to the duties of the office. That's an option. It's not my suggestion that you take that option, but I just wanted to give you that option in case you wanted it. Seeing no one is interested in that, I'm going to move to the next one that does have an option. We have 2200. Which is curriculum content. And it would appear, it's a mandated policy. The option appears on the second page. It says choose one or more of the following alternatives. And to me, it was just something that we should say. The third one asks, and among the school districts sending to the Manasquan School District. So actually the policy is only asking us to fill in the name of the district that we have. So it would be Manasquan because all of the sending districts send to us. So really it's an option there to fill in just to make it something that all the school districts can utilize by putting their name in there. So I filled in Manasquan.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. 2411. Is another one, and it's focused on guidance counseling, and it reads, the Board of Education requires that a planned program of guidance and counseling be an integral part of the educational program of the school to assist students in making and implementing informed educational and occupational choices, including academic, career, and personal social development. A program of guidance and counseling includes developmental career guidance and exploration shall be offered to all students in this school district and shall, and they give you four choices. The one I suggest, because it's the one that's currently being used, is be conducted entirely by teaching staff members certified as guidance personnel. You have three other choices for this. Would you like me to read those or is use okay? The second choice, include the services of teaching staff members certified as guidance personnel and other designated teaching staff members. In other words, you'd have certified guidance personnel, and then you have the luxury of designating other teaching staff members to afford them the opportunity to help children in guidance. Third choice, be the responsibility of the classroom teacher who may draw upon the services of other more specialized staff members as required. That would either do away with guidance or include the staff teachers' responsibility guiding the children as well. Yeah.
Would this apply to, I know we have a large team of the grief counseling when something unfortunately tragic happens here.
That's,
well, if we end up going with option one, will that eliminate, there's a lot of teachers that have been trained.
No, because that's a crisis situation.
Okay.
And
so
we have other rules that apply to crisis.
Okay.
Yeah. That was a great question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, all your questions are great questions.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You're my warm fuzzy. I like coming here.
I shouldn't have said that. I apologize. Involve the coordinated efforts of all teaching staff members under the leadership of certified guidance and counseling personnel. I think that option number one says it all, and it's what we currently have, and I don't see any need to change it. Are we all good with that? Okay. 5460, high school graduation. These are some numbers that were filled in by the administration here. I didn't do this alone. The Board of Education will recognize the successful completion of the secondary school instructional program by the award of a state-endorsed diploma certifying the student has met all state and local requirements for high school graduation. And here are the fill-ins. A graduating student must have earned a minimum of 150 four-year high school credits and courses designed to meet all of the New Jersey core curriculum content standards, including but not limited to the following credits. And it's the numbers that were filled in. 20 credits in language, 15 in math, 15 in social studies, including satisfaction of 18A35-1, which are world geography, civics, economics, geography, and global content, and 15 credits in science, including at least 5 credits in laboratory biology, life science, or the content equivalent. I believe it's what we had before. And on the second page, 5 credits in health, 5 credits in visual performing arts, 5 credits in world language, 2.5 credits in financial economic business, 5 credits in 21st century and careers. Electives as determined by the high school program sufficient to total a minimum of 42.5 credits. Yeah, what we have. So any questions about that? We good? Really?
We're good.
Really, Fred? And the last is regulation guide. 8630, emergency school bus procedures.
Bless you.
God bless you. As I'm looking through this, and I was in quandary before, but this is what Strauss Esme sent me. Oh, here it is. Thank you very much. Thank you. It's on the third page, additional precautions. School bus drivers may, depending on the age of the students on a bus route, discuss with the students additional safety precautions that may be taken in the event of a bus emergency. The safety precautions to be discussed shall be approved by, and you have choices here, transportation supervisor, principal, or designee. And I would suggest we put principal down there, because I think if a bus driver is going to talk about safety precautions, that he should or she should contact the principal. Okay? Those are the options that we have with the policies. And as you can see, 5536 is the second reading and adoption of the voluntary random testing for student alcohol or other drug use. And we've got some questions about that, so upon its return to us, we can have our second reading in August. And we'd like to do this in January, so there's really, I don't want to rush into it because it's something we waited for.
Dr. Casey?
Yes?
1530, the second one, do we need to review that option, or is that one okay? The equal employment opportunity complaint procedure?
1530, equal employment procedure. There is the regulation of 15.
On the second one, unless it's a misprint. I don't know.
There is an option staying there, but I didn't think the option was necessary. So
you got it.
But if you would like to look at it, we're good?
That just, yep.
Okay. Thank you. Actually, we were at the finance agenda items. Ms. Coates, do you have anything?
I do have just a brief update. This afternoon, we learned that our extraordinary aid, state aid numbers for the 15-16 school year were posted to our web portal. We'll be receiving about $139,000 in extraordinary aid. That is $60,000 less than we budgeted, and that is for the 15-16 school year. Fortunately, during the 15-16 school year, we received unanticipated revenue of approximately the same shortage amount of the extraordinary aid, so it is not a problem for the district, but I just wanted you to be aware that that number is out as of today.
Is there any reason?
I believe what happens, and this is my opinion, is whatever the state pot is for state aid, it's then prorated based on the applications that are submitted. And our applications were due in the month of May. So the state will look at all the applications, they have the allotted, the budgeted amount of money, and then they prorate each application, so we each get a certain percentage. That is what I believe happens.
Okay. I'm going to just allude to the field project, and then if you and Tom could help with the discussion, it'd be great.
Certainly.
I think that the Natural Green and has done a great job. As you can see, we look on the field that we have the sprinklers are in, as well as the multi-field project has been completed for the multi-purpose field, the varsity field. And in August, we'll be looking at the siding the remainder of the field. I think everything was done on time, on schedule. And I compliment the staff who was very diligent out there going through it, very warm and humid days. And I'm happy with what's been done. It was done in a week, and I was just shocked to see them do it. And Glenn?
I think you covered it nicely.
Tom? Oh, one thing. You did get the dimensions of the soccer field, and thank you for that, because one of the questions I got was to make sure we checked on the width of the soccer field, the width of the lacrosse field, and the length of the lacrosse field. And I didn't know, but I do know now. It's one of those things, you learn something new every day, that the lacrosse field for young ladies is longer than for young men. And we have enough area for both, with enough area behind the goals. And our field is 185 yards long, or wide. And it's 160 minimum for soccer, and 180.
Is the 180 including, is it? It's not going to go on the track, right?
Right.
Okay.
For lacrosse.
Okay.
So, and I sent you those dimensions, you have them.
Did you say yards? Did you mean feet?
No, yards.
I think it's 185
yards wide.
I think it is. I don't think that's feet.
185 feet is 60, over 60 yards.
Yeah, that's 60 to 70 yards is the field, is lacrosse.
Wide. I'm going to go to our,
yeah.
That's 185 feet.
Let's go to our specialists.
Soccer is
yeah,
happening.
I thought you said yards.
I did.
Oh, you did.
Okay. And I'll stand corrected. Actually, sit corrected.
You may stay seated, actually, and be
I told the truth again because it's on tape. I said it and I admit it.
I just said that's the biggest soccer field I've ever heard of.
Because it's 50 yards to the 50-yard line. There's no way it's... That's 100 for the full length of the field.
You play with 73 players.
All right, good. So this goes
we're
down.
We're going to go from the narrowest field in the short conference to the widest field in the short conference. We're going to have to run these kids to death, but no.
Enjoy it, because I might not make another mistake for the rest of the year. So.
The width is 80 yards.
Okay, but...
Yeah.
Bottom line, we're good.
Okay, good.
It all fits.
And it won't be on the track.
And it will be on the track.
By tweaking the field just a little bit and pushing it a little bit closer to the school and having it be wide enough is why we're able to have lacrosse, soccer, and football all out there. So it worked out to our advantage to pull the sender out where the track was. If you looked at the field in the baseball outfield, that afforded us the opportunity to now have all three sports out there, where in the past we were a little short on the yardage for soccer. So now, just by moving the field a little bit, just by lining it a little bit closer to the school, we'll be able to play all three sports out there.
Will all three sports be playing closer to the field, or will they kind of be lined differently, that when we play lacrosse, when we play soccer, it'll be shifted closer to the school, but football will be
Yeah,
more
it's my understanding that exactly what you just said.
Okay, which will actually be good because it can rest different sections of the field. Is there anything that we can do for, I notice on this field in particular, compared to other fields throughout the short conference, the outside where the football team stands gets worn pretty extreme. Is there anything that we can do to, at max or whatever, or have them stand on the,
I'm not a football person, so I don't know if every 400 kids that are staying on the sideline need to stand right up against the sideline, or can they stand on the track and not destroy it so that we can save the outsides for field hopping for soccer and lacrosse?
After my last mistake, I'm a little gun-shy to answer the question, but I will. I had this discussion with Bernie, because if you look at the field, that's a very worn area. And it is coming back. And he did tell me, actually this morning, that there are things we can put under the benches so the benches don't erode. That's what he told me. That's space.
You think it's the benches, or you think it's the 500 people that stand there during every single football game? There's a lot of kids on a football team, yeah, on both sides. Honestly,
I was thinking
think
it was
the I don't benches. Think they sit on the bench. I don't think it's the bench impression that's making, yeah, that dirt. Can you? Again, I'm not a football person. Can they stand farther back, and maybe only the coaches stand along there so that we can have less impact on that section?
I will definitely bring it to the athletic director, supervisor's attention, and have him approach that subject.
Without ruining the track, because the track's, yeah, more expensive to replace than.
Right.
The other thing is, yeah, we're not going to be putting the benches and things like that on the track because we don't want.
Right, right. It's cheaper to replace turf, right. Grass than it is to replace, mm-hmm, the track. Is there mats or anything that can be rolled up and put down?
Oh, yes.
Taken away? Mm-hmm. Not that we have. That's a safety. What with the mat? Gigantic field with that?
But building on how great the place looked for the high school graduation, I think that as we go into the fall seasons, the field is going to look great.
The banners were beautiful.
Yeah,
we received
a lot of positive
people,
feedback,
yeah,
and the guys have done a tremendous job.
And the variation of who was up there, and it wasn't just it was really nice.
Yeah, so we're hoping that to build on that, and this is the first step of doing that.
Good. Lynn, anything else with building and grounds? Want to read about the project, please?
Yes, I do want to just add a short update on the vestibule and the window project. We had a pre-bid meeting on July 7th. It was not a mandatory pre-bid meeting. We had four contractors, Garrison Architects, Mr. Bigley, and myself were at the meeting. Although only four contractors were there, we had seven sets of bids picked up from Garrison Architect. The meeting consisted of an overview of the project, a Q&A session, and then building tours. The bid opening is July 28th at 3 p.m. So more information will be forthcoming after the bid opening. Also late in the day, in the same update from the state, I received notification that effective July 13th, the new testing for lead in drinking water in public schools is effective immediately throughout the state of New Jersey. And what this means is that the regulations require testing for lead in all drinking water outlets within 365 days of the effective date of this regulation, which, like I said, was July 13th. We will have to develop a plan that will govern the collection and analysis of drinking water samples, and we must send them to a certified testing laboratory for analysis. On the memo, there was a link where you could click. The state of New Jersey has listed all the certified laboratories. And then we may seek, as a school district, reimbursement for any samplings done after July 13th. And that guidance is not yet posted, so we do not know when we can apply, how we can apply, or how much we will be receiving reimbursement for. That information will be forthcoming. So I just wanted to share that this evening.
Am I correct? Our first lead test we did this year, they were all negative.
That
correct?
Is correct. We've already tested. Unfortunately, we cannot seek reimbursement for that.
Right. But we were all negative at that time.
We were fine.
The
yes.
first testing, right? Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now with our building and grounds complete, I'm going to move right to the superintendent's report and information items. As of June, our total enrollment was 1,606, high school 957, and the elementary school 649. In regards to our fire drills, June 6th in the high school at 8:02 a.m. we had a fire drill. June 13th. At 1:30 p.m., we were testing of emergency management system. We fulfilled both of our requirements for the state. In the elementary school, we also fulfilled both requirements. On June 14th at 11:20, we had a fire alarm and police response. The police response was because of a battery issue that we had. On June 20th at 10 a.m., we had a security meeting at the elementary school. in regards to our harassment, intimidation, and bullying report at the elementary school in June. We did not have any to compliment to our staff. Yeah, I said only one mistake, didn't I?
That's a shame. The high school you want to compliment?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much for that. I want to compliment the high school, so therefore I will. The elementary school, however, had one on June 6th, and it was not harassment, intimidation, bullying, although because of the consequence that we had to focus on, there was a recess detention and counseling with the school counselor. But again, it was not harassment, intimidation, and bullying. That is the superintendent's report for this evening.
Do we have a motion to recommend approval and acceptance of the superintendent's report? Mr. Serino, second. Mrs. Muley? Any questions about the superintendent's report? Sandy?
Mrs. Passone?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mrs. Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Lofredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Carried.
We are now to our first public forum. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes in duration. Individuals wishing to address the board should be recognized by the presiding officer, should give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by an individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion, or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda only, please. Do we have anyone from the public that would like to be heard?
These are just agenda items, right?
Correct.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to congratulate the young Eagle Scout here, and I know how important that is to you in your future because I've been to many Court of Honors, and it's a wonderful thing, and I wish more emphasis would be placed on scouting for young men and women, too. But I think it's a wonderful thing, and thanks for recognizing him. And I'd also like to thank Mr. Pellegrino. Surprise, surprise.
I'm not surprised.
I'm fair. But anyway, thank you. You attended the meeting with Governor Christie, and I was there, and I was glad to see that you spoke up about the funding issue with the taxes. And I only hope that maybe that's a glimmer of hope, that maybe you see that that is what I see, and I think a lot of other people see that the funding of the school is a main issue, and when that gets solved, you know, hopefully we can go ahead with the projects that you want to do. I also want you to know that at a meeting I said you asked me if I was doing anything, and yes, I am. I have met with legislators, two of our legislators. I have sent letters to all of the legislators, including the governor, regarding the situation. And we are currently waiting for Commissioner of Education to set up a meeting so we can talk about how to move forward with this. They're hoping to do it in a legislative manner rather than changing the law, which would be much more complicated and difficult. So I hope it gets done because I think the things need to be done at the school. But you know how else I feel about that. You did mention the budget, so can I say something?
Of course.
Okay. In your budget, I looked it over, and it said that the per pupil cost is $14,593. Approximately per student, and I'm assuming, is that the tuition? Does that become the tuition, that number?
Go ahead, please.
The number that you see as a per pupil cost in the budget is actually an average of all programs. So that is not a specific tuition amount. The budget program is a piece of software that the state requires school districts to use, and that's a calculation that's within that software. So as we have a 9 to 12 tuition rate, we also have a tuition rate for multiple disabled for kindergarten. That's a blend of all of those rates. And that's so members of the public can compare school district to school district.
Okay. At the town hall meeting, a question was asked by a young girl that asked how much per pupil cost was for Manasquan, and the gentleman said it was around $17,000 per student. So I'm wondering if, I don't know what his calculation was. Was that for a Manasquan student, or was that for all of the students that attend Manasquan High School? I don't know where the $17,000 came from. I don't know if anybody else does.
I actually was at that meeting with Mr. Pellegrino, and I was a little surprised when he came back and read that number. I don't know if he went on to, on the DOE website, you can pull up prior year's data, and you can pull up various information. I actually, when he came back, I thought he was going to quote that $14,000 number that you just quoted, but he didn't. And I was across the other side of the room, so I didn't ask him where he pulled that from, but.
Because that sort of was calculation. If you add the tuition that you do charge, which is in the 14,000 range, and add on the additional cost, it costs the Manasquan taxpayer per student for the capital improvements. That's about the number you come up with. So it was kind of an interesting number as far as I was concerned. But anyway. And our tax rate for the school is about 0.75. Is that what I saw? Is that what it is? Our tax rate for the 2016 year? I think I saw that on your.
It's on our website. The budget presentation is there.
0.75. Okay. And I know that's a reduction in the tax rate from last year, but by the same token, our assessed values are higher, so the tax rate should have gone down. Right.
You are correct that that is a reduction in the tax rate.
Okay. The ratables.
They don't always correlate.
The assessed value of your home.
Right, but the ratables don't always correlate. In Brielle, the assessed values went up and the ratables went up.
Saying for Manasquan, I don't know what's going on in Brielle. Okay. I think that's it. Oh, the multi-purpose field. I'm glad it's a multi-purpose field, that the three sports are going to be using it. I think that's a positive thing, because I think before only football was able to use it. But my concern is it's beautiful now. Who is going to maintain it? Is our staff, or are we going to hire a professional company to maintain it? Because it's a costly thing that we've had done, and obviously it needed to be done, but after half of the season is over, or after every game, what's going to be done to maintain it in the condition that it's in? That's my concern.
We're going to maintain the field. The district will maintain the field.
Your staff. The staff that's here. You're not going to outsource it.
Not at this time.
And are they going to be trained on how to do that?
Educated. Obviously, yes.
And by a
professional. They're already trained to do it. They wouldn't have the job they have if they weren't trained to take care of the grounds. They were hired to take care of the grounds.
Okay, I'll take your word for that. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else from the public? Seeing no one, move to the Manasquan general items. Would it be okay if we put together, Mr. Gross, do we have to table the one, or can we table it all as part of the same resolution? Can we approve them all together with the caveat that we're tabling one of them?
Okay.
So is everyone comfortable with numbers 12 through 40? Would anybody need anything separated out 12 through 40 with the caveat that we will be tabling the one policy which is...
No, that's number 18.
Which is number 18?
Yes.
So 12.
12 through 17.
12 through 17. Why don't we just start there? Yes?
We have a virtual handout about parent paid tuition rates. Are we going to discuss that in any way?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And we were going to discuss that in the Committee of the Whole.
Good tonight.
You're on. You're on your name tonight.
I can't take credit.
So...
It was Gene. He just knows that I'll say it.
We could... Well, we can discuss it when we do the... We can separate that resolution and we can discuss the reasoning behind it. Or I think that's probably the best way to do it now, since we're at past the Committee of the Whole.
Okay.
So, since I missed it, correct. So, do we have a resolution for numbers 12 through... We're still going to go to 17, right?
Right.
Yep. What number is that that we were looking at? Somebody help me.
I'm looking.
For which one we're pulling out?
Parent paid tuition.
Number 32.
Okay, we're way before.
Yeah.
How about 12 through 17?
Yeah. Okay, so that's
Serena,
we
do we have a second?
Okay.
Do we have a second? Smule, any questions on 12 through 17 only? Sandy.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Patani?
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Warren?
Yes.
Mr. Lafredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carried.
Do we have a motion to table number 18? Mr. Serino, do we have a second? Mrs. Bassone? Any questions? Sandy?
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Patani?
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Warren?
Yes.
Mr. Lafredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carried.
We have a motion for numbers 19 through 31. Ms. Bassone, do we have a second? Ms. Muley, any questions? Sandy?
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Patani?
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Lafredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Serena?
Yes.
Carrie?
Do we have a motion for just number 32, please? Mrs. Muley, second. Mrs. Bassone? Does anyone have any questions or Dr. Pigeon like you heard on number 30?
I have a question.
Two, okay.
So, we're reducing the tuition rate to 7,000. Question I have is now that this question came up about what the state says it costs us to fund teaching students with the percentage of 14,000. So is that what it actually costs us? So are we going to be losing money? Mm-hmm.
7,000 would be from the K through 8 for anybody who's coming in district as a tuition paid student. The
right.
Answer is we would not be losing money. And I'll let Lynn.
Yeah, because now that came up,
the cost per pupil and the tuition rate at the elementary school level aren't always the same, because once you pay the fixed costs, if you have empty seats, any person you put in that seat doesn't drive up the price of the cost per pupil. Is that correct, Lynn?
Right. You always have to turn the lights on. You always
right.
have the heat. So
yes.
Though it does cost per pupil, to add more pupils aren't, like, if I have five more kids, it doesn't cost me more money to heat
like
my house.
It's not a per part, then it's not a
conceivable,
per student.
Conceivably, yeah. No, it's an average. But conceivably, the cost per pupil would reduce if we added tuition-paying students, if whether they paid $1 or $7,000, because the fixed costs are already...
So, in other words, the more students we have, the cheaper the tuition. Okay, that's because it doesn't, it
Lynn,
doesn't
am
sound
I,
right.
I saying that right?
Yes.
Is that correct? So it's not actually going to cost us $14 for tuition fees.
But we will continue to have it upon board approval, so that we're not going to get to the point that we're in class sizes of 35 and 40.
Yes.
That's
the
policy.
Right.
Correct.
Yes.
It only costs you for a book, a chair,
right.
and a desk.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because the teacher's already there.
And often those things are already in stock and not being
in-house.
Used, in-house and not being used. I just wanted to clarify, this is for parent paid tuition. This is not if another LEA or school district wants to send a student here. It's just for parent paid.
And obviously by this attachment, it's because we're so off kilter with other districts.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
And we're in a competitive environment.
Are we going to evaluate the same thing for the high school, or is it a different calculation that we would be impacted more?
That's
The high school's a different situation because we're in a sending-receiving relationship. So we clearly, we couldn't, probably in good conscience, lower the tuition for someone outside of the Senate districts, knowing what the Senate districts pay. I think that that would be a dicey proposition.
Okay.
But the elementary school, we know that we know that the other elementary schools in the area are charging, you know, less than 7,000. And if, you know, if we want to stay competitive for the empty seats that we have, this is one opportunity to do that.
So how many tuition-paid students do we have?
Currently?
Not many.
Not many, one or two.
Yeah.
But we're not sure if the reason we don't have more is because we were almost double some of the other local elementary schools.
Yeah, because you could look, you can go to St. Catharines for 3,800 or you can go to Manasquan for 13,800.
Right, correct. Or you can go to Spring Lake for seven, or six.
Six. Spring Lake is six, Spring Lake Heights is 46.
It's just an opportunity, hopefully, to, you know, become more attractive to people that are looking for another option. Any other questions?
How did we come up with the $7,000?
Well, I believe it was based on what the other schools were charging and where we were and what we thought was reasonable.
Yeah, it was that's fair. It's a comparison, and then reached out to the other business administrators and put those statistics together for you so we can have a ballpark number that would make us competitive. It doesn't make us the cheapest.
Is it going to be seven flat, or like some of the other districts have discounts for additional siblings? Looks like
it's seven flat, right?
Seven
yes,
flat.
Seven flat.
Okay.
Anyone else? Sandy?
Mrs. Passone?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carried.
And now, do we have a motion for numbers 33 through?
Wait, can we go back to that for a second?
Of course.
I'm sorry.
Well, not really, but.
Just something that I just want to have a question. It would be evaluated if that child needs extensive special ed, right? So that rate, would that rate fluctuate? If there's a child coming in district that has severe disabilities that it would need?
Yes, actually our policy states that after the application and a deposit is made, the superintendent meets with the family. So part of the application does inquire as to those specifics.
Okay, and that wouldn't that. Would that be a discrimination thing if you turned around and turned them down and said?
No, but okay. I think that's something that a board has to discuss as a committee of a whole, to discuss the extra costs that would be part of that tuition payment, so that you might have to add to that.
Right, like if a child comes in and has a one-on-one para, that $7,000 is not even going to cover the.
That's why it comes to the board okay. for approval.
That's why each one's an individual.
Okay, good.
Yes. Moving on. 33 versus, how many verses? 33 to number 40, do we have a motion for that? Ms. Passone, second. Mr. Serino, any questions? Sandy.
Mrs. Passone?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carried.
We are now to the Manasquan Senate District general items, number 41 through 59. Does anyone need anything separated in 41 through 59? Do we have a motion for 41 through 59? Mr. Catani, second. Mr. Fury, any questions? Sandy.
Mrs. Passone.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma.
Yes.
Mr. Fury.
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Yes.
Mr. Vitale.
Yes.
Carried.
Thank you. We are now to number 60, old and new business. Does anyone have any old business that they would like to bring up? Or any new business that they would like to introduce? I feel like I had something I wanted to mention.
So did I. Something I can't
remember. I've recently been in conversation with some of the parents, some of the moms, and there were some concerns about updating the calendar. changes to the calendar. They weren't, it wasn't getting out to the parents quick enough, and calendar wasn't always 100% accurate or reliable, so it was kind of hard to keep track. Is there any way we can do an email on changes or something different than what we're currently doing?
This was one of the strategic planning focuses, and at our last presentation, we had those people who were involved with maintaining the calendar. So I will meet with them tomorrow, and I'll suggest that we get these changes out, but it should be updated.
Especially since we have the app now, and the app is, I mean, it's great, as long as it's updated.
Mine was a similar communication. Some kids who were offered to go into some enrichment programs, and they were notified on Thursday that the programs, they got mail on Thursday that there's this summer program for algebra that starts on Monday. And, you know, as a student, I mean, as some parent of a child, they set up their summer programs for what they have available, and then you get this great thing that maybe they want their child to participate in, but they're already done for the summer, and 4-day lead time is just not realistic. I feel like we had some similar things with the award ceremony this year. You get 3 days notice.
In the elementary school?
Yeah, I think, okay. And I'm sure the same thing happens at the high school, that they get late notification, and a lot of things are some really warm, fuzzy things that you would like to invite extended family to, and 2-3 days notice that's going on. I just feel like even if you say heads up, you don't know if these kids qualify, but if you think your child is going to, this is the date for this program. Take it into consideration, maybe pencil it into your calendar that if you think your child would be a candidate for the National Junior Honor Society or awards banquet or whatever, block this day off, even if they don't know exactly who's getting it.
And you figure a week's lead time would be sufficient? The only reason I'm asking, I have a leadership meeting tomorrow. And it's going to be something.
I don't even know if a week, I mean, I feel like if it was on the calendar, I feel like 4 days, and then what we get has the wrong date on it or the wrong day. Mm-hmm. It says Saturday the 15th when it's really, or, you know, Thursday the 15th when it's really Wednesday the 14th or whatever. I just don't think that's.
I agree. Yeah. I'll take that responsibility. I'll talk to my administrators tomorrow. I'll see them at, I think, 1:30. And we'll correct it.
And even if, as I said, even if it's something, because I get it, when you're doing testing and things like that, sure. you can't always know ahead, but if it was almost like you got a blast, like, hey, if you think your kid might qualify, pencil it in. Or.
So I'm figuring a week. Madonna, you said a week wasn't long enough.
I don't personally. I mean, every mother knows you have your calendar booked out for 2 months. I would say a minimum 8 to 10 days, maybe not 2 full weeks, but a little more than a week.
Okay.
I'm just saying, can't, if you have, you know, this for lacrosse and this for that, and you have 3 kids, like I only have one, Heather has 3, you have to be everywhere, you know, a week's not really,
okay.
And you take out the weekend days, it's really messy up.
And if I could just throw in there, that Donna makes a good point, I mean, even things like the New Jersey Fair, different things, mm-hmm. sometimes we'll go in, check the calendar when the school year starts,
right.
And I know I'll put that in my calendar, so for business purposes, I'll try to make sure I can be around. And then the date changes. I understand dates sometimes change, but it's difficult even a week, even 2 weeks sometimes. If there's a way we come up with our calendar ahead of time, mm-hmm. and this is what it is, and stick to it, unless there's some sort of, you know, circumstance that comes up, it would really be nice because then you get great representation. And Heather's point, you know, even extended family at some things.
I think communication is very important. And yeah. I think that we have to communicate correctly and in a timely fashion. So we'll aim for 10 days, and I'll have that discussion tomorrow. And we'll start with that in September, make sure everything's updated. Thank you. I think that's a good criticism.
One of the things that came up as a from the self-evaluation, obviously when board members were asked to identify the challenges that faced the district, the failed referendums, the facilities improvements, and things like that, almost unanimously were selected as challenges that faced the district. So to that point, I would like to put together a new referendum committee that would discuss and look at the feasibility of going out for another referendum. So if you could email me or Lynn, you know, sometime between now and our next meeting, we can put that committee together and we could start talking about whether or not you know, we want to go out for referendum going forward, and if we did, what would be included in said referendum? All right. So I appreciate you responding as soon as you can. Anybody else have any old or new business? Dr. Cajun, you seem like you have something you want to talk about.
Yes, we've just recently went through the, and we'll talk about this in our executive session because that's when we talk about personnel. But we did have 15 very highly qualified applicants for our supervisor of humanities position. And we had interviewed 8 outside candidates and 7 inside candidates. I'm going to propose the hiring of an inside candidate tonight. But I see the person who I'll suggest in the audience, and instead of waiting for us to come out, I just wanted to introduce him to you as we discuss tonight, so he didn't have to wait till we come out of executive session. And that's Justin Roach, and he's seated right there. As a board, discuss personnel in executive session, Justin, and then we come out with our approvals. But if there's anybody here who did interview for that, because I did see a couple of our candidates, I wanted to compliment everyone. We have a very high qualified staff, and this is the third appointment that if everything goes correctly, that was from our staff. And I think that's important when you have a staff that can rise to the occasion of developing their capacity to service us in different roles. And that's sort of new business that we just finished. So we did, inside and outside, we had candidates, and we had a very deep pool. So I was happy to see that.
And just something that was mentioned before by Mr. Jacobson, a couple weeks ago, Governor Christie had his Fair Funding Formula Forum at Wall Municipal Library. Lynn and I attended with the hopes that we would be able to ask a question of the governor about the funding that specifically refers to sending and receiving and how Manasquan's handled and how the, with the 30% of the students being from Manasquan, 70% of the students come from sending districts, the funding formula that we use for capital improvements, we don't feel is equitable to Manasquan. So we were able to get our question out there. The governor was nice enough to take my name and number, pass it along to Mr. Hespy, who's the Commissioner of Education.
Yes.
And he did call me back when I attempted to call him back. I haven't gotten him yet, but we are hoping to have him better explain why they, when Dr. Cajun spoke to him last fall, why they said that it wasn't permissible for the sending districts to be able to contribute outside of their 2% cap to any capital projects that they would be utilizing in the high school. So we hope to talk to him and we hope to get a better answer, and we hope to hopefully that he takes it back to whomever he needs to take it back to, and maybe we'll get something accomplished. But I just wanted to, because we have talked about it, but I just want to make sure everybody knew what we were talking about. Anybody have anything at all? Come on. We are now to our second public forum on any items, whether they be on the agenda or not at this time. Anybody like to be heard? Seeing something.
Marilyn Jacobson, 59 McLean Avenue. I guess I'm going to say I'm disappointed that you're going out for another referendum when the problem is not solved. The basic problem, and you do know what the problem is, and I understand where you're coming from. As you know, as Board of Education, you want to provide the best for the students that you represent, and but I think that we really need to be together on this and get something accomplished where 30% of the people don't have to supplement 100%, 70 more percent or 100% of people. I just think it's so unfair. And when, you know, I've looked over some of the laws that they have, and I don't understand all of them, believe me, but most of the ones that I've read only deal with not the receiving district. The sending districts have more control over the situation than the receiving district does. the way I see the laws that are on the books now. But I think, you know, being that we are a unique school district, that we need to work hard to get it changed. And I know it's not easy, and I know, you know, it has, you know, everybody will tell you, your legislators will tell you, oh, it's not about the votes, but it is about the votes. And, you know, it's just something that you just have to keep pushing for this, because it's simply not fair to the people of Manasquan to have to do this year after year after year. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no one else, executive session. Whereas the Senator Byron M. Berry Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the act provides the Manasquan Board of Education to hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential, one of the 9 subject matters listed in Section 12B of the Act. And whereas it is recommended by the Superintendent, the Manasquan Board of Education go into executive session on this date in Manasquan, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session. Whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, after which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business. And whereas the board hereby declares its discussion of the following subjects will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Manasquan Board of Education, the board is going to executive session to discuss the following items. Number 1, confidential matters per statute or court order, which is in relation to pending litigation and personnel. Number 4, collective bargaining, which will be an MMA negotiations update. And number 8, personnel matters, which include hirings, leaves of absence, and retirements. Items discussed in executive session will result in board action when the board reconvenes to public session this evening. Do we have a motion to go into executive session? Mr. Serino, second. Mr. Fury, all those in favor?
Aye.
The ayes have it. We have a motion to reconvene. Mr. Lafredo, second. Mr. Fury, all in favor?
Aye.
Do we have a motion for numbers? That's 170 districts, number 63 and 64. Mr. Serena,
yep.
We have a second. Mr. Vitale, any questions? Sandy.
Mrs. Fasano?
Yes.
Mr. Tenney?
Yes.
Mrs. Capano?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yeah.
Mrs. Gabriella?
Yes.
Mr. Lafredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serena?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Gary?
Do we have a motion for Manasquan items number 65 and 66? Mr. Serena, second. Mrs. Fasano, any questions? Sandy. Mrs. Pisano.
Mrs. Pisano.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma.
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Yes.
Mr. Lafredo.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Serena.
Yep.
Carrie.
Do we have a motion to adjourn? Mr. Fury, second.
To adjourn.
Mr. Lafredo, all those in favor?
Aye.
The rest of you can stay.